Red Brick Media. I quote the CDs, DVDs, lectures, khutbah, conferences and Quran recitations. All revenue generated supports our dawah work, supported by visiting our store. You can now purchase directly from our site, www.redbrickmedia.co.uk.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala sayyidi khalqillahi ajma'in. وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه واستنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Last week we spoke about a number of issues concerning fasting, and we finished, I think, that chapter within Kitab al-Siyam. And Imam Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala, he goes on into the next chapter within the book of fasting, and he says, "Babu sawmi tatawwu' wa ma nuhiya 'an sawmi," the chapter of voluntary fasting and fasting which is prohibited. So this book, if you like, the Kitab al-Siyam, the book of fasting, or the chapter, the book of fasting, the fasts that we speak about it are general. So whether that's in the month of Ramadan or outside of the month of Ramadan, and this is the general practice of the scholars of fiqh alayhim rahmatullah, that when it comes to the issues of fasting, they call the chapter of fasting, another chapter of Ramadan, because fasting can be outside of Ramadan and for other purposes and reasons other than the month of Ramadan as well. So now that we've spoken about the major issues concerning Ramadan in terms of its pillars, in terms of its conditions, in terms of the things relating to the fasting itself, Ibn Hajar rahimahullah now begins a new chapter, voluntary fasting and that which is prohibited in terms of fasting. Voluntary fasting, as we know, then in the Sharia there are acts which are obligatory, acts which are voluntary. And so even though Allah Azza wa Jal has obligated upon us certain acts that we should perform, there are other acts which are voluntary, meaning that if you don't perform them, there's no sin. But if you do perform them, there is much reward to be gained. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal often speaks about this concept of tatawwa' within the Quran. فَمَن تَطَوَّعَ فَهُوَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ. Whosoever does extra, meaning voluntarily, that is better for them. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the Hadith al-Qudsi that Allah Azza wa Jal says that the most beloved thing that you can do in the sight of Allah is that which Allah has obligated. So the five prayers, fasting the month of Ramadan, giving your obligatory zakah, performing hajj, these are the most beloved acts to Allah. But to do the voluntary acts, the nawafil, then Allah Azza wa Jal loves those as well, to the extent that you continue to do them and you continue to come closer and closer to Allah until Allah Azza wa Jal becomes the hearing by which you hear, the sight by which you see, the hand by which you touch, and as is well known in that famous hadith. And so a person does these nawafil, they do these voluntary acts and they come closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do many, many voluntary acts. He would do many, many voluntary acts. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, he said that the most beloved of the voluntary acts to Allah is fasting. And that's why in the hadith that we mentioned before as well, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that all of the actions of the son of Adam are for him or for her, except for fasting, for that is for me and I will reward it accordingly. So based upon that hadith, as we know in the Sharia, any good act is multiplied by 10. That's a minimum. Up until 700. That's the range by which Allah multiplies good deeds. Except for fasting, that is between a person and Allah will reward them accordingly. Could be more, could be within that range of 10 to 700, or could be more than 700. And that's why Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, based upon that hadith, he said that from the most beloved voluntary acts to Allah is fasting. And he said, why? Because there is no riya in it, no showing off in fasting. Because when a person fasts outside of the month of Ramadan, unless you tell someone you're fasting, or someone gives you some food and you say, no, I'm fasting, no one will know that you're fasting. Unless you let them know, or they find out some other way, just by looking at you, they won't know that you're fasting. Whereas if a person's praying, you can see that when they're praying, they're praying. When a person's making hajj, you're there, you can see that people are making hajj. They're in Mina, in Arafah, in Muzdalifah. When a person is making Umrah, you can see that they're making Tawaf, they're making Umrah. When a person is giving charity, you can see that they're giving charity, you can see them giving money. However, the month of fasting is something which a person can't see. And that's why even it is reported from some of the Salaf alayhim rahmatullah that they would fast and it would be so secretive that even their own family members wouldn't know. Their own family members wouldn't know. Because they'd wake up in the morning and they'd say, we don't need breakfast, we're going out, we need to go to work. So they'd skip breakfast, as many of us do. We skip breakfast all the time and leave and go out, whether to uni, whether to school, whether to work. And then they wouldn't return except towards the evening. And especially like, for example, if you imagine like the winter months, even in the UK, where Maghrib comes in very early, 4 or 5 o'clock, you won't come home until about Maghrib time. And so even their family members wouldn't know that they had been fasting. This is how secretive they were about preserving fasting. And this is why it is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after speaking about the etiquettes of fasting, the pillars of fasting, how to fast, what breaks the fast and so on, Ibn Hajar rahimahullah now begins his chapter of voluntary fasting and fasts which are prohibited. So when we look at fasting, they fall into three categories. Fasting falls into three categories. Number one is the obligatory fasts. And that's what we've been speaking about more or less so far. And that itself falls into three categories, as we said as well. Ramadan, kafara, which is expiation, and nuzur and iman, which are oaths and vows that a person takes. Fasts that you obligate upon yourself. The second type of fasting is a recommended type of fasting. And that is what is known as sawm at-tatawwu'. Voluntary fasting, which is recommended. The third type of fasting is prohibited fasting. Fasting which is prohibited. And maybe some scholars will add disliked fasting into that as well, because there is some difference of opinion over some of these issues. But basically, those are the three main categories. So, obligatory, recommended, and then prohibited. So, we've spoken about what is obligatory, and we've spoken about the etiquettes generally of fasting. Now we're going to be speaking about those other two categories. Hadith number 565, an Abi Qatadat al-Ansari radiyallahu an, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam su'ila an sawmi yawmi arafa, faqala yukaffiru as-sanata al-madiyata wal-baqiya, وسئل عن صوم يوم عاشوراء فقال يكفر السنة الماضية وسئل عن صوم يوم الاثنين فقال ذلك يوم ولدت فيه وبعثت فيه وأنزل علي فيه رواه مسلم. On the authority of Abu Qatada al-Ansari radiyallahu an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about fasting on the day of Arafah, and he said that he expiates the year before and the year after, meaning the sins of the past year and the next year. And he was asked about fasting on the day of Ashura, and he said that he expiates the previous year's sins. And he was asked about fasting on Mondays, and he said that was the day in which I was born, the day that I was sent as a messenger, and the day that I received revelation. And this is collected in Sahih Muslim. So these are three types of voluntary fasts that Ibn Hajr rahimahullah brings together in this single narration of Abu Qatada radiyallahu anhu. The first is fasting the day of Arafah. And the day of Arafah, as you know, is on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. The 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. This is something which is one of the most beloved and one of the best recommended acts that a person can perform in terms of fasting. To fast on the day of the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. However, this is only for those people who aren't making Hajj. So for those people who aren't making Hajj, it is from the greatest deeds that a person can perform that they fast on this day, the day before Big Eid, before Eid al-Adha, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, also known as the day of Arafah. And this is the day that the pilgrims will go to Arafah, and they will spend the vast majority of that day there making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day before Eid. So this is the day. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is another narration which Ibn Hajr will bring later on, and that is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade those people in Arafah to fast on the day of Arafah. So for those people making Hajj, and they're on the day of Arafah, in Arafah, making Hajj, it is not allowed for them to fast. Some scholars said it is disliked, others said it is prohibited. For everyone else, outside of those people making Hajj, then it is highly recommended for them to fast on this day. This hadith, in this narration, it says that fasting on the day of Arafah, it will expiate a previous year's sins and the next year's sins as well. And so the scholars have differed over this issue. And that is because the previous year's sins, they all agree upon that it expiates the previous year's sins. But what about the next year's sins? Because the scholars have said that this is from the khasa'is and from the special attributes given to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the things that are unique to him, that all of his sins were forgiven, past, present and future. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. That Allah may forgive you, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for your past sins and your future sins. However, for everyone else, then their sins which are from the future, they are not forgiven. It's the past sins that Allah expiates, not those sins that you have yet to commit. And only Allah knows what a person may fall into. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from sin. So the scholars said what the meaning of this hadith is of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that it expiates the previous year's sins, but for the following year it will keep you away from sin. So fasting on this day will remove from you the temptations of shaitan, it will protect you from sin, and even if a person sins, then perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal will lessen that punishment and so on. But it doesn't mean that they're expiated. It doesn't mean that they're all expiated, and this is what the scholars of Islam say. Fasting on this day of Arafah, it is the best type of voluntary fast. So it is better than the 6 days of Shawwal, it is better than Ashura, it is better than any other type of voluntary fast. And this is by ijma' of the scholars, by consensus of the scholars of Islam. So the best fast that you can fast after Ramadan is the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. The second fast which is mentioned here is the day of Ashura. And Ashura is the 10th of Muharram. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina, he found that the Jews were fasting on this day. So he asked them why they were fasting, and they said, this is the day that Allah saved Musa and his people from Pharaoh and his army. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we have more right to Musa than you. And so he ordered the companions to fast on this day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. Ashura in Arabic language comes from Ashra, which means 10. And that's because it is on the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura. For this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the previous year's sins are expiated. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his final year, before he passed away alayhi salatu wa sallam, he fasted on the 10th and he said that were I to live for another year, then I would fast the day before it, the 9th as well. And so the sunnah is to fast the 9th and the 10th. The 9th and the 10th, and that is so that we differ from the Jews who fast just on the 10th. Again, this hadith says that to fast on the day of Ashura will expiate your previous sins. So this hadith about the day of Ashura and the day of Arafah, both of them speak about expiation of the previous year's sins. The scholars, the vast majority of them say that this refers to the minor sins, not the major sins. Refers to the minor sins, not to the major sins. And that's because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he speaks about generally expiation of sins, so for example, the 5 prayers, praying one prayer to the next prayer, or making umrah to another umrah, or things like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say that they would expiate those sins in between them, so long as a person doesn't perform the major sins. And so the scholar said that this has the same ruling. It is for the minor sins that are expiated, not the major sins. As for the major sins, then they need a person to go and to make tawbah and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jal forgives them for those types of sins. The third thing that is mentioned in this hadith is fasting on Monday. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it was the day that he was born in. And it was the day that he received revelation, and it was the day that he was sent as a prophet of Allah. And so that was the reason why he fasted. And there is another hadith that speaks about the superiority of Mondays and Thursdays for fasting. Even though Ibn Hajr rahimahullah, he doesn't mention that hadith, but the hadith is authentic, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would fast on Mondays and Thursdays. And when asked about this, he would say, these are the days that our actions are raised to Allah. So I love that Allah should receive my actions whilst I am fasting. meaning that I am already in a state of worship when my actions are raised to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith number 566. وعن أبي أيوب الأنصاري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صام رمضان ثم أتبعه ستا من شوال كان كصيام الدهر رواه مسلم. On the authority of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari رضي الله عنه, who said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan, then follows it with the 6 days of Shawwal, then it is as if he has fasted the whole year. And this is collected in Sahih Muslim. This hadith, I think, is a very famous hadith, that if a person fasts the month of Ramadan, then in the month of Shawwal they fast 6 days. It is like fasting the whole year. And that's because we take it on the minimum that a good act is multiplied. So a month is multiplied by 10, that's 10 months. And you have 6 days multiplied by 10 is 60 days, which is 2 months. And therefore it becomes like fasting a year. And so this is what the scholars of Islam mentioned concerning this. This is the opinion of the vast majority of scholars, that you fast these 6 days of Shawwal, and that it is from the greatest fasts that a person can perform outside of the month of Ramadan. There is another opinion of some scholars who said that it is disliked to fast these days. And they said because people will think that it is part of Ramadan. People who are ignorant, they don't know much about Islam, they will think that it is an extension of Ramadan, and so they would dislike that people fast these days. But this is a weak opinion, because this hadith is authentic and it is strong to show that it is not only something which should be done, but it was highly encouraged and recommended by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another issue which generally arises, especially with the 6 days of Shawwal, is what if a person misses days in Ramadan? They've missed a couple of days, 3 days, 4 days, whatever. And now after the month of Ramadan, do they first fast those days and then the 6th of Shawwal? Or can they fast the 6th of Shawwal and then make those days up whenever they want? This is an issue of difference of opinion amongst the scholars of Islam. Some of the scholars said that what they do is they fast the kafara first, what they have to make up. They fast that first, the qada, sorry. What they have to make up, they fast that first. So whether it's 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, that's what they do first. Then they move on to any voluntary act, like the 6th of Shawwal. Others said no. It is allowed for them to fast the voluntary first and then the obligatory after that. And they use as a proof the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she would say about the fast that she would miss in the month of Ramadan due to her monthly cycle, that she wouldn't make them up except in the month of Sha'ban, meaning before next Ramadan. Sha'ban is the month before Ramadan. So next year, just before Ramadan, she would make those up. And so the scholar said, it's not thought that the likes of Aisha radiallahu anha would miss the 6 days of Shawwal and Araf and Ashura and all of these other great acts and acts of worship. She wouldn't just miss them for no reason, had it not been allowed to delay that as well. And so this is an opinion of, an issue of some difference of opinion. However, the safest opinion, no doubt, is that a person fasts the obligatory fasts first, and then they move on to the voluntary one. And there is a narration from the Prophet ﷺ, but from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that he said that Allah will not accept a deed, a voluntary deed, if an obligatory one is outstanding. So a person, for example, can't go and make voluntary hajj if they haven't performed the obligatory hajj. Doesn't make sense for a person to come and start praying nafil prayers if they haven't yet prayed maghrib. Like to come into the masjid now and start praying nafil prayers, they haven't even prayed maghrib. Likewise, for a person to start giving charity and they haven't given their zakah and it's due on them. And so likewise, based upon that, they said that people who have obligatory fasts upon them, for them to go and start fasting voluntarily again, using the same type of analogy, it doesn't make sense. And no doubt this is a stronger opinion, and Allah knows best. And as for the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, then perhaps that is specific to women. Women who have monthly cycles, women who, for example, have their postnatal bleeding, and then they can't fast because of that, out of takhfif for them, out of making things easy and out of mercy for them, the Sharia has given this leeway to them. Hadith number 567, وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من عبد يصوم يوما في سبيل الله إلا باعد الله بذلك اليوم عن وجهه النار 70 خريفا متفق عليه واللفظ لمسلم. On the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whosoever fasts a day in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove from his face the fire of hell the distance of 70 years. And this is collected in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and this particular wording is of Imam Muslim. This hadith is also a famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that a person who fasts, a voluntary fast, Allah will remove from their face the fire of hell the distance of 70 years. The word kharif that you find in the hadith means autumn. It means autumn, one of the seasons of the year, autumn. But it's done as kinaya. Even though it's mentioned as an autumn, it means a year. So 70 autumns basically is another way of saying 70 years. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this act, great reward for those people who fast a voluntary fast. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever fasts a voluntary fast in the path of Allah. So some of the scholars said that this hadith is referring to those people who are making jihad, and then they fast as well on top of that. So even though they need their strength and they need their energy, they choose to fast instead. This is a reward for them. This is the opinion of some scholars, and it is based upon that wording of fi sabilillah. Does that refer to generally just anything in the path of Allah, meaning for the sake of Allah? Or does it mean, as it can mean sometimes in the sharia, jihad and fighting for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal? And Allah knows best, but either way, it is something which has great reward. Hadith number 568. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم حتى نقول لا يفطر ويفطر حتى نقول لا يصوم وما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم استكمل الصيام شهر قط إلا رمضان وما رأيته في شهر أكثر منه صياما في شعبان متفق عليه واللفظ لمسلم. On the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would fast, and he would fast so much that we would say that he never breaks his fast. And then he would break his fast for such a long time that we would say that he never fasts. And I never saw that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam completed a month of fasting except in Ramadan, nor that he fasted more than any other month than Ramadan except in Sha'ban. And this is also in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. This hadith shows us the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and basically what it shows us more than anything else is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make things easy for himself. As Aisha radiallahu anha said in another hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have two choices except that he would choose the easiest of the two so long as there was no sin involved. So if he had two options, he would choose the easiest one. Make things difficult for himself unnecessarily. And so this hadith is speaking about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at times of the year, he would fast a lot, to the extent that people will think that he's just fasting all the time, meaning rarely does he take a day off, or he takes very few days off. But on the other extent, there would be times of the year, on the other side, there would be times of the year where he would not fast at all, until the people will think that he rarely does any voluntary type of fasting. And so perhaps, and Allah knows best, that you have the summer months and the winter months. The winter months, the days are shorter, the nights are longer, it's easier to fast. So in those months, the Prophet ﷺ would fast more, because it's easier, the weather is more easier to bear. Whereas in the long summer hot days, where the days are very long, the nights are very short, where the weather is very hot, where it's very difficult, then the Prophet ﷺ would not fast much at all. And so the Prophet ﷺ would have this beautiful way of balancing his ibadah, and he wouldn't overburden himself unnecessarily. But the Prophet ﷺ never completed a month of fasting except the month of Ramadan. So even if he fasted a lot in a month, it wouldn't be a complete month. The complete month of fasting, 29 or 30 days, is only for the month of Ramadan. However, the Prophet ﷺ, outside of Ramadan, the majority that he would fast would be in the month of Sha'ban. So some of the scholars said that was in preparation for the month of Ramadan, to train his body to get used to the fasting that would come in the month of Ramadan. And so the Prophet ﷺ would fast during this time, during the month of Sha'ban, more than any other month, and Allah knows best. Hadith number 569, وعن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه قال أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نصوم من الشهر ثلاثة أيام 13 و14 وخمس عشر رواه النسائي والترمذي وصححه ابن حبان. An authority of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered us to fast 3 days from every month, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, and this is collected by An-Nasa'i and At-Tirmidhi, authenticated by Ibn Hibban, and it is an authentic hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would order the companions to fast 3 days of every month. And in another narration he said that whoever does this, it is as if they have fasted the whole year. Why? Again, because 3 times 10 is 30. And so you fasted that whole month, so it's like you're fasting the whole year in terms of reward. And so in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, another hadith, a famous hadith, where he said, أوصاني خليلي بثلاث. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised me with 3 things. One of those was to fast 3 days of every month. So in that hadith it's general. So to fast 3 days of every month is something which is beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. In this hadith, the days are mentioned. And they are known as Ayyamul Bidh, the white days. Why are they white? Because on the 13th, 14th and the 15th, the moon is at its fullest. And so the moon is at its whitest. And so they are known as Ayyamul Bidh, the white days. 13th, 14th and 15th obviously of every lunar Islamic month. Every lunar month. So it is the sunnah to fast these 3 days as well, as is mentioned in this hadith, and to do so will give you the reward of fasting for a whole year. Okay, so inshallah we're going to conclude with that hadith, bi'idhnillah, and next time, bi'idhnillah, we will move on to the second section of this chapter, which is the hadith, which are the fasting which is prohibited. So we've taken the fasting which is voluntary and which is recommended, and now, inshallah, after that we will come on to the fasting which is prohibited. And also, inshallah, the next fiqh lesson will be on the 14th of June. Thursday, inshallah, the 14th of June. So the hadith that I mentioned at the beginning, the hadith al-Qudsi, that a person who does voluntary acts, their attributes become like the attributes of Allah, their sight, their vision, and so on. What is the correct understanding of this hadith? It means that Allah Azza wa Jal, they are under the care of Allah Azza wa Jal, under His supervision. And so Allah Azza wa Jal will protect their eyesight. So when Allah is their eyesight will be protected from haram and from anything which will diminish their reward. Likewise their hearing, likewise what they touch, likewise what they walk towards. Allah Azza wa Jal will protect them from any sin and from any harm. And Allah knows best. Okay, Jazakumullah khair. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم